Good afternoon, it's 3 o'clock and you're tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on Wednesday the 14th of March, the year 2012. Chip Brown with you here on a Juneau afternoon. Today we'll find out about Saturday's 20th annual Girl Scout Auction. We'll celebrate National AmeriCorps Week. We'll talk photography with Tina Brown and Mark Kelly in a preview of tonight's Wildlife Wednesday program. Amanda Compton will be here to highlight tonight's Mudrooms event, and we'll learn about this week at Eagle Crest. That Writer's Almanac music and more today on a Juneau afternoon. Also give away a pair of Paula Poundstone tickets, so stay tuned. Weather forecast for tonight, mostly cloudy skies with isolated snow showers later on. Forecast for Thursday, mostly cloudy skies with a chance of snow and rain. Thursday night, cloudy skies with a chance of snow.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. After 2 years of review, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has issued members of the Northern Arapaho Tribe permits to capture two live bald eagles for religious purposes. Wyoming Public Radio's Tristan Autone reports.
The Northern Arapaho's permit for the live take of an eagle has been under review and negotiation for nearly 2 years. Last year, the Northern Arapaho sued the Fish and Wildlife Service, charging the agency with violating tribal members' rights to religious freedom, and this week federal officials approved the tribe's permit for the religious take of eagles. Matt Hogan is with the Fish and Wildlife Service.
We're really talking about Native Americans who have had a long-time customary traditional relationship with eagles, in some cases thousands of years, and so as the Fish and Wildlife Service, we're constantly trying to balance the conservation of the species with the religious needs of Native Americans.
The application is finite, however, and only allows for two eagles to be captured, and Fish and Wildlife officials say that they have not issued any permits of this type in recent memory in Wyoming or the West. For National Native News, I'm Tristan Autone.
The last fluent speaker of the Kikst language on the Warm Springs Reservation has died. Gladys Miller Thompson was 97 and a strong advocate for the preservation of native languages. KWSO's William Robbins has more.
Gladys Miller Thompson was born on New Year's Day in 1915 and devoted her life and service to her fellow tribal members of the Confederated Tribes of the Warm Springs Reservation in Oregon. She learned Kikst, the language of the Wasco people, from her Wasco father's parents, who raised her with the love of native language. Gladys Thompson also became fluent in Itchishkin, the Sahaptin language of the Columbia Plateau, spoken by her mother and, up until her passing, taught Kikst to her grandchildren as well as countless members of the Warm Springs tribes. She was a revered teacher of the Kikst language, including teaching linguists Robert Moore and Hank Milstein. Her preservation of Indian ways was a source of inspiration for members of the Confederated Tribes of Warm Springs and will no doubt benefit future generations. In 2001, Gladys Thompson worked for passage of Senate Bill 690, the Native Language Teacher Certification Bill, and was the expert responsible for certifying teachers of Kikst. In 2007, the Oregon State Legislature honored Thompson for her contributions to preserving native languages of Oregon. Gladys Thompson has 26 grandchildren, 78 great-grandchildren, and 23 great-great-grandchildren, many of whom, due to her dedication and guidance, are now faithfully working to preserve the Kikst language of the Wasco people. In Warm Springs, Oregon, I'm William Robbins reporting.
Oklahoma lawmakers pass a bill to create a cabinet-level Indian Affairs post. The bill was approved Tuesday by the House. According to the Tulsa World, it revises a tribal liaison job. Last year, a law created a tribal liaison position but was not filled. The bill now goes to the Senate. Three Alaska Native dog mushers we featured last week finished in the top 10 in the Iditarod sled dog race. Peter Kaiser of Yupik descent came in fifth, Yupik Mike Williams Jr. finished in eighth, and last year's winner John Baker and Inupiaq finished ninth. A 25-year-old won the race Tuesday. Dallas CV became the youngest musher to win the Iditarod. More than 60 mushers started the race more than a week ago from Anchorage to Nome. As of Wednesday morning, the Iditarod website showed about 40 mushers were still racing. On this day in 1912, Judson Lawrence Brown was born in Klukwan, a small Tlingit village 40 miles from Haines, Alaska. He was the first Native person to attend an integrated school in Alaska and was the first Alaska Native to serve as mayor of Haines. He served two terms. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation. Funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Nathan Cummings Foundation.
National Native News is made possible with support from Days Inn of Anchorage. Wake up with the sun on the web at daysinalaska.com. Every Alaskan can support causes and organizations they care about when they file for a permanent fund dividend. Use PIC, CLIC, GIVE when filing online for your PFD. With one donation at a time, good things will happen all over Alaska.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Time is 3:05 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Before we get the show officially started, Cheryl Levitt is here with some important news.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for letting me jump on to what I know is a very packed show today. But as we have been sharing with our audience for the last couple of weeks, Paula Poundstone is going to be coming to Juneau and performing tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at Centennial Hall. And we have a couple tickets that we're going to be giving away today this hour. Here's how it's going to work. If you would like to get your name in the hat for a draw, for the drawing for two tickets, call in at 586-1212 or send us your name and telephone number from the comments contact us section on k2news.org. I'll be collecting these throughout the hour, and then at 4 o'clock tonight we will announce our winner. So again, if you'd like to get in on a drawing for two tickets to tomorrow night's Paula Poundstone show, call 586-1212 or go to our website, k2news.org, and contact us from the comments section on the website. And again, make sure you leave your telephone number.
And the deadline for the last possible entry?
I think no later than 5 to 4, because I have to have time before 4 o'clock to pull a name.
All right, you heard it here first. Cheryl Levitt, thank you very much for coming down.
Thanks so much, Jeff.
In the studio with us, we have people talking about the 20th Annual Girl Scouts Auction, which is Saturday, March 17th at the Juneau Arts and Culture Center. Sarah Lewis, Sherry Paul, and Linda Sylvester, thank you for coming down to the station today.
Thank you, Jeff.
So first of all, an overview of the program nationally and locally.
Well, this is Linda. I work for the Girl Scouts. Nationally, Girl Scouts is turning 100 years old. It happened
on the 12th,
on
March
the
12th.
Yesterday. Oh, my gosh, yesterday. So it's a huge week in the world of Girl Scouts. Nationally, Girl Scouts is the premier leadership program for girls. And then locally, it's the premier leadership program for girls as well. Locally, there's about 389 people involved with Girl Scouts. And we've across the state, there's 8,000 girls involved with Girl Scouts.
It's a pretty, really kind of a going concern here in Juneau. There's lots of girls who are involved with Girl Scouts. I'm often surprised to find out what girls are in troops and moms and dads who are leading and keeping them doing all kinds of really good activities.
And what kinds of things do they do here in Juneau?
Well, one of the focuses that we have nationally, but we've definitely grabbed onto it in Alaska, is science, math and science. So a couple of our really good programs, you've probably heard of the two Girl Scout troops from right here in Juneau that came in, what, first and second in the Lego League?
First and second place overall.
Overall. Was that
in Southeast Alaska?
For Southeast Alaska. And those were both Girl Scout troops. And then also the Women of Science event that we hold every year. We have lots of local and statewide scientists, women, come and do a full day of activities with girls. I don't know if it's a full day, a couple hours.
It is, okay.
It is a
full day for me.
Yeah, and that's actually a really, really good program. So the sciences are very strong here, especially
in
marine
the camps.
Science. And the camps.
The camps, and that's what this upcoming auction is going to do. It's going to support scholarships for girls going to camp this summer, so we're trying to raise money for as many girls as possible to go to summer camp here in Juneau, and there's overnight camps and there's day-long camps.
And that's throughout Southeast as well. There are day camps that they take to a lot of the smaller communities in Southeast.
And then locally there are 3-day camps that we offer and then 1-week-long resident camp.
What age are Girl Scouts here in Juneau or nationally as well?
Kindergarten through 18. And then they graduate to adulthood, and then we hope that they become leaders right away without any break.
And I noticed at Fred Meyer the other day, and just throughout the town, people were selling Girl Scout cookies still.
March is the cookie month, so So they're still in full swing. They're going to be at Fred Meyer Cars Safeway A&P this weekend.
But hurry up. They're running out.
They're running out. Mints are hard to come by right now.
And that's just my question. What's most popular, I guess, mints?
Samoas and mints are kind of split right down the middle, and then tagalongs, then then Do-Si-Dos, and then...
The Savannah Smiles this year, which is the 100-year cookie. It's the special cookie for this year. That's actually my favorite
it's
this
really
year.
Delicious.
Yeah, that's a good one.
There's seasonal varietals. We kind of joke about them. They kind of slip them in there. Savannah Smiles and Thank You Very Munches and the Dulce de Leches. But mints and Samoas rule.
And they're going to be on sale at Fred Meyer and Cars and...
Safeway. All Saturday and Sunday. And then you're from your local Girl Scout leader. And you can call the Girl Scout office at 586-1710, and I will connect anybody with a Girl Scout troop.
Will they be on sale at the 20th Annual Girl Scouts Auction this Saturday, March 17th at the Juno Arts and Culture Center?
That's a good question.
Well, yeah, now that you brought that up, that they will be on sale there.
But we do need to note that there will not be any girls selling them there because it's a 21 and over event. That is a rule of the Girl Scouts. So even if it's someone who's not a Girl Scout, we can't have anyone under 21 there because there will be alcohol served, which the leaders and all of the various supporters of Girl Scouts have a lot of fun with.
Right. So it's our 100th anniversary of Girl Scouts. So the girls have already celebrated. So Saturday, the adults are celebrating, and it's a massive charity auction at the Jack. Saturday at 6:30. 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock is when the doors open and things really get underway at 6:30. And
at 6 o'clock, the silent auction will start because there are three different auctions. This is a big old thing. There's the silent auction, there's the live auction, and then as part of the live auction, there is a dessert auction. So we've got it covered.
Should we talk about the entertainment?
And that's right. Actually, it's pretty exciting. Some local folks who were Girl Scouts, have been Girl Scouts throughout their life and were Girl Scouts back in the 50s and 60s here in Juneau, they're getting together. They're going to come, and they're going to lead everybody in a Girl Scout sing-along. It's going to be great fun.
People you know, there's Janie Homan, Dixie Belcher, Susan Clark, and the famous Butchiever sisters are among them.
So we're pretty excited about that.
A lot of leaders up today were Girl Scouts of yesteryear.
That's true. It's many Girl Scouts are third generation Girl Scouts, third and fourth generations.
How much does it cost to get in, and how can people get tickets?
Well, it costs $25 a ticket. You can get tickets online or visit the Jack, or if you can call the Girl Scout office again, and we can get you tickets right there. And also I wanted to mention that BP has graciously underwritten our event, which has helped us out quite a bit, and it's being catered by Abby's Kitchen. There's going to be a full bar provided by the Viking with some St. Patrick's Day libations available, so it's not just beer and wine. What else? So, yeah, go down to the Jack and pick up your ticket or give any one of us a call, and we'll be happy to deliver.
The Girl Scout number is 586-1710.
And you can get the tickets online at jahc.org.
All right, Sarah Lewis, Sherry Paul, and Linda Sylvester from the Girl Scouts, thanks for coming by. Is there anything you'd like to add I might have forgot to ask?
No, it's just something, it's really neat. All of the items that in the auction, it'll be a lot of fun to purchase. And everyone
there are lots of different levels, big ticket items and smaller items, so for every budget.
It'll be really neat to know that you're really supporting an amazing cause that's really changed a lot of girls' lives.
All right, well, thank you very much for coming down to the station.
Thank you.
Now, what starts with the letter C? Cookie starts with C. Let's think of other things that start with C. Who cares about other things? C is for cookie. That's good enough for me. C is for cookie. That's good enough for me. C is for cookie. That's good enough for me. Oh, cookie, cookie, cookie starts with C. Oh, C is for cookie. That's good enough for me. C is for cookie. That's good enough for me. C is for cookie. That's good enough for me. Oh, cookie, cookie, cookie starts with C. Hey, you know what? A round cookie with one bite out of it looks like a C. A round donut with one bite out of it also looks like a C.
but it is not as good as a cookie. Oh, the moon sometimes looks like a sea, but you can't eat that. So, C is for cookie, that's good enough for me. Yeah, C is for cookie, that's good enough for me. C is for cookie, that's good enough for me. Oh, cookie, cookie, cookie starts with C. Yeah, cookie, cookie, cookie starts with C. Oh, boy! Cookie, cookie, cookie starts with C.
Time is 3:16 and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau. Don't forget to get your name in to win a pair of tickets to tomorrow night's Paula Poundstone Show. Call 586-1212 or email us from our contact section on the KTUO website, ktuonews.org. You need to get your name in by 3:55 p.m. so we can announce our winner at 4 o'clock. In the studio with us now, we have people involved in the AmeriCorps program because this is the AmeriCorps Week.
Saga
AmeriCorps Week here. Cody Kukubanek and also Beverly Schoonover, thank you for coming down to the station.
Thanks for having us, Jeff.
So briefly, a little bit of overview of the AmeriCorps program.
Yeah, great. The AmeriCorps program is a national program that gives a lot of grants out to nonprofits throughout the whole country. There's various programs inside of it, NCCC, state and national, which is what Saga would fall under, and also AmeriCorps Vista. So AmeriCorps Week, that's this week, March 10th through the 18th, and we're just out in the town promoting Saga and AmeriCorps as much as we can.
But how many people are involved in the AmeriCorps program here in Juneau?
Here in Juneau, we have Vista and State National members here. Saga alone, we have eight connection members right now, which are all AmeriCorps, and then at the peak of our summer times, we have roughly 100 just in Saga alone.
So what's the deal with AmeriCorps? You get a certain cash bonus or something like college education credit?
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic for people in my position. I'm a recent college graduate, and I don't really want to start paying back my student loans yet. So when you're an AmeriCorps member, you get student loan deferment during your term of service, which is usually 11 to 12 months. And then at the end of it, you get an education stipend that is $5,500 roughly, which is huge for a new recent graduate like myself.
And what kind of things do people do here in Juneau, like for instance, the people working for Saga?
Yeah, well, we have a couple of programs with Saga. The one is the Connections Program, and that's connecting folks with nonprofits all over the state, and they work for 11 months. Some of the organizations that we're currently partnered with are AWARE, Campfire, Discovery Southeast, Juneau School District, UAA, we have someone at the United Way, and at Yakutat Schools, Trailside Discovery, Discovery Southeast, and they go and spend pretty much a year supporting that nonprofit, doing education and helping with volunteer recruitment. And then we also have a core program, two core programs. It's called the Alaska Service Corps, and one is youth. And they need to be born in Alaska, and they go off and they camp out all summer, and they work on all summer. They do trail crews, brush clearing, invasive weed pulls. And then we also have a kind of an older service crew, folks that have been to college or a little bit older, and they do trail work and other sort of projects as well. So we partner with AmeriCorps, and then we also partner with project sponsors all over the state, people like DOT, National Park Service. We've partnered in the past with the Forest Service, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, watershed councils, which are great, and it's a great program. We also have a couple other programs at Saga, too, which is our Eagle Valley Center, which does experiential education and wilderness treks and high ropes course. And then we also have a construction program where we take Juneau High School students, and they learn how to build a house. And this is our third house that we've built for the Juneau Housing Trust in Juneau.
Where are you from?
I am from Colorado originally. I also have roots in Minnesota. So if it wasn't for AmeriCorps and Saga, I would have never gotten the chance to come up here and see beautiful Alaska. And on days like this, I'm really grateful for that.
Did you get to pick Alaska as a place to come to?
Well, when you apply, you could apply to any various AmeriCorps programs throughout the country, and that's really the beauty of it. I mean, it gives people like me a chance to visit states that you never ordinarily get the chance to see. So, yeah, I got to pick Juneau, and I'm real happy that I got my choice.
One of the goals of AmeriCorps Week this year is to connect AmeriCorps members and alumni with each other so that folks feel like they're part of a bigger nationwide effort. And Cody asked me to come because I'm a two-time AmeriCorps service member. I did it one time in 1995. I taught coastal ecology in Oregon. And then I did it again after I graduated college, and I did economic development for the city of Estacada. And something that I was talking to Cody about before and some of our staff is, you know, I wasn't a college-bound person before I did AmeriCorps. And when I did it, it was my first professional working environment. I was working with adults, which was exciting, and they really inspired me to go to college. And the Educational Award was one of the reasons why I started college. And I think that that's such a great part of this program is some people who weren't born or whose parents aren't, you know, encouraging them all the time to go to college, this is a really great step towards getting a career and getting a professional career and building skills.
And we shouldn't let you get out of here without mentioning that you're now the executive director of SAGA.
Yeah, I just became the executive director of SAGA. I was telling the connections folks the other day that once they become AmeriCorps, they could end up in management, which is a great thing. And we have a new event coming up, which we want to invite everybody out to. We have the Spring Jamboree at the Eagle Valley Center. And I'll let Cody talk a little bit about the dates on that.
Sure, yeah. The Eagle Valley Center, just out the road, will be having its Spring Equinox Jamboree on Saturday, March 24th, from 10 to 4. There's going to be a lot of fun stuff out there. There's going to be a naturalist walk, fly fishing, free food, and carnival games. So we definitely encourage anyone interested at all to come on out and check out our EVC center.
So I know when you said free food, it got people's ears perked up. You have to say when and where it is again.
Sure, yeah. So that is going to be at SAGA's Eagle Valley Center, just out the road. We're going to have posters all around town with more detailed information about where to find us, so keep your eyes out for that one on Saturday, March 24th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Yeah, this is really a family event. Bring the kids out, check out the center. See what sort of programs we offer, and just have fun.
And feel free to check out our Facebook or Twitter page, and then we'll have more details out there for you, too.
And I suppose both of you this question, since both of you are or were AmeriCorps volunteers, why in the first place did you do it? I mean, it wasn't just the college experience or the college credit.
Well, I can speak on that. I could not get the position that I got through AmeriCorps without a college degree. And they were allowing people to do this position as naturalists who had natural experience and environmental education experience. And so, that was a great first step for me to do that. And that was a position that I could have never done without AmeriCorps.
And myself, I met a gentleman who had just returned from Peace Corps, and he said he used AmeriCorps as a great stepping stone to get to a place where he was comfortable making a commitment like the Peace Corps. And I had recently graduated college, and I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do yet. And AmeriCorps is a great place to gain some professional experience and get involved with nonprofits and find out how those types of organizations work, all while not having to worry about student loans and making progress towards other goals.
And Jeff, just to let you know, Cody said we hire about 100 people every summer throughout Alaska, and we definitely need crew leaders, we need crew members starting very, very soon. And if anyone who's listening knows of someone who might be interested, if you go to our website at Serve Alaska, there's more information about jobs that are open.
That's just what I was going to ask you. You read my mind.
ServeAlaska.org.
Beverly Schoonover and Cody Kovanek, thank you very much for coming down to the station and talking about SAGA and AmeriCorps. Anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
Let's see here. I think we covered a good part of it. Thank you so much for having us on.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeff.
I hear the drizzle of the rain like a memory, it falls soft and warm, continuing, tapping on my roof and walls. And from the shelter of my mind, through the window of my eyes, I gaze beyond the rain. rain-drenched streets to England, where my heart lies. My mind's distracted and diffused. My thoughts are many miles away. They lie with you when you're asleep, and kiss you when you start your day. And a song I was writing is left undone. I don't know why I spend my time writing songs I can't believe, with words that tear and strain to rhyme. And so you see, I have come to doubt all that I once held is true. I stand alone without beliefs. The only truth I know is you. And as I watch the drops of rain, be their weary paths and I know that I am like the rain, there before the grace of you go I.
Time is 3:27. You are tuned to KTVO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Our next guests are Tina Brown and Mark Kelly, here to talk about tonight's Wildlife Wednesday presentation put on by the Alaska Wildlife Alliance. Mark and Tina, thank you very much for coming down to the station today.
Thanks, Jay.
Thanks for having us.
Glad to be here.
So first of all, what is the Alaska Wildlife Foundation?
It's a nonprofit organization. It's founded in 1978. The board is composed of all Alaskans, and we are dedicated to the preservation and protection of Alaska's wildlife.
And tonight at the Wildlife Wednesday presentation, Mark Kelly and Jay Beadle and also Jaylene Beadle are going to be making presentations. You want to talk about Jay and Jaylene's presentations, please, Tina?
Yes, they are going to be presenting their views on whales. They'll be showing photographs and speaking about whales. And as many of you know, Jay and Jaylene Beadle really know whales in our area. Along with Mark Kelly, they have co-authored Alaska's Watchable Whales. And of course, Jay often has a column in the Empire about our area whales.
Mark Kelly, you're going to be talking about whales too, because you wrote the book on it.
No, I'm going to be talking about bears. I'm going to leave whales to Jay and Jaylene. They got the neighborhood circling shelter for whales for years now. And I'm going to work on bears. And I'm going to be featuring bears from Steep Creek, from Pack Creek, and then Annan Creek.
What have you learned about bears in the use of watching them and taking pictures of them?
You know, I used to be really scared of bears when I first got here. And I've just learned to really love how smart they are and, just relaxed and how you can have very interesting interactions with them and not be scared. I mean, you got to be respectful and be careful, but it's just enjoying their personalities and their humor and the fun they have.
You ever been in a dangerous situation? But I suppose people ask you that all the time.
No, I never have. I was once at Pack Creek long time ago. I started going to Pack Creek in 1980, and I was camping just a little south of there. And I decided I'd camp out on the beach, and my friends were in the tent under the canopy, and I was just In the morning, they came up and woke me up. I said, what? They said, look it. I said, what? And you know how the tide comes in, clears the beach, and then goes out? And there were bear tracks that went right to the bottom of my sleeping bag and then walked away. So I was just, you know, I could have been a Tootsie Roll in there for that guy. And just sniffed my bag and walked away.
How many pictures of bears do you think you've taken over the course of your life? There's digital pictures as well.
Well, you know, I really, when the Forest Service in 2006 built those viewing platforms out on Steep Creek, is really when I started photographing bears. It just provides such an incredible access. Before, all those trails used to be closed in the fall because there are so many bears along Steep Creek, and they have trails, but you'd be right in with the bears. And so the Forest Service closed those trails. So if you wanted to look at the bears before 2006, you had to kind of break the rules and sneak in the thing, and it wasn't a good deal. And then in 2006, they built those the whole system of boardwalks and viewing platforms that separated you from the bears and just provided this incredible access to. And so that's in 2007. I spent 6 weeks there and produced a book on bears. I hadn't planned on shooting a book in 6 weeks. It just ended up the bears were so everywhere and so accessible and so easy and relaxed. And I know Tina, I see her almost every night I'm out there now. She walks those trails daily.
When I've been out there, it's been crowded with tourists, and it kind of reminds me of Disneyland.
Well, you're there and you can see amazing stuff, but you know the tourists leave in the evening, and it's the locals.
There are also places to walk out there where you can avoid the tourists, and sometimes the tourists can be helpful because you don't have to search. You know where the bears are by the way they look. They're looking.
And tonight's presentation begins at what time?
It's at 7 o'clock, and it goes until 8:30, and hopefully folks will stay longer to enjoy some coffee from Heritage Coffee and some sweets, homemade sweets, and to talk with Mark and Jay and Jaylene and just have a nice time. This one is in the Egan Lecture Hall at UAS. If you're a frequent Wildlife Wednesday follower, this is the room below the Glacier View Room. So it's in the lecture hall just down from the library.
And copies of the book will be available for sale?
They will. And you have the golden opportunity to get it signed by all three of the photographers.
You'll be showing slides and a lot of photographs as well, Mark?
Yes. Mostly mine will be on bears, and Jay and Jaylene will be doing mostly whales.
And I've been talking with Mark Kelly and Tina Brown about tonight's Wildlife Wednesday presentation. If you need more information on that, what's a good website they can find out?
The best website is www.akwildlife.org, but if you need last-minute information, you can call me at 523-5402. Cell number is 209-4219, because I'll be there early helping to get set up.
All right, Tina and Mark, thank you for coming by. Anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
I think you did a great job, Jeff. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Jeff.
You know, I just thought of another question, Mark. What is the secret for taking a great picture of a bear?
It's a lot of patience. Even though there are bears around all, you know, like at Steep Creek and stuff, it's just, you know, you got to be very patient and wait for you want to get, you know, the moment when everything crystallizes, and like the day the bear's crossing, catching the fish is obviously the most obvious one, you know, that moment when it grabs it or snatches it, or just when, you know, it's crossing the creek just right and the icebergs are in the background and the light's right. So it's a long wait between moment and light, and so it's a lot of patience.
Yeah, well, you must show a lot of patience because your books and your photographs are so great.
Well, thank you, Jeff.
Thank you for going by the station.
We appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff.
And don't forget to get your name into the hat to win a pair of tickets for tomorrow night's Paula Poundstone show. You call 586-1212 or email us from our contact section on our website at ktonews.org. You need to get your name in by 3:55 p.m. so we can announce our winner of two Paula Poundstone tickets for tomorrow night's concert, and we'll be announcing that today at 4 o'clock, but you have to do that now. Don't wait any longer.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 14th of March, 2012. It was 70 years ago today, 1942, the first human life was saved with penicillin, an antibiotic discovered accidentally by Alexander Fleming, 1928. On this day in 1942 in New Haven, a 33-year-old nurse and mother named Ann Miller lay in the throes of a serious streptococcal infection, running a fever around 107 degrees. The family doctor, John Bumstead, had read the research on the experimental use of penicillin, and he found out that the Merck Pharmaceutical Labs in Rahway, New Jersey, had produced a small sample, which they shipped him, 5.5 grams, about a teaspoonful, which at the time represented half of all the penicillin available in the United States at that time. Ann Miller was slipping in and out of consciousness, was expected to live only a few more hours. Dr. Bumstead had the drug in his hands. He didn't know exactly how to dose or administer it. He gave the first injection at about 3:30 in the afternoon, and by the following morning, her temperature was back to normal. She lived for 57 more years, and her medical chart is on display at the Smithsonian Institution. It's the birthday of the playwright Horton Foote, Wharton, Texas, 1916, author of more than 60 plays and screenplays, including a series of 9 one-act plays called Orphan's Home Cycle, loosely based on his own father and other relatives. The play's protagonist, Horace Robideau, at the beginning of the first play, he is 12 years old. His father has just died. His alcoholic mother has remarried. Her new husband doesn't want Horace around, so the boy is, for all intents and purposes, an orphan. The cycle follows Horace's search for a home, his growing up, and his becoming a husband and father himself. It was on this day, 1939, John Steinbeck's The Grapes of Wrath was published, the story of the Joad family, migrants who left the Dust Bowl to find work on the farms of California. It sold nearly 500,000 copies in its first year. Steinbeck had written the book in 100 days. It's the birthday of Sylvia Beach, Baltimore, 1887, owner of the Shakespeare and Company bookstore in Paris, and the publisher of James Joyce's Ulysses in 1922. And it's the birthday of Albert Einstein, born in Ulm, Germany, 1879. He was homeschooled as a child, a disrespectful student when he went off to school. None of his instructors would give him the letters of recommendation he needed to get a good job, so his first job was as a technical assistant for the Swiss Patent Office in Bern. He enjoyed the work, and it gave him lots of free time to work out his own theories of physics, and since he was outside of the academic scientific community, he wasn't bothered about what other people thought. Here's a poem for today by Ann Porter, Looking at the Sky. I never will have time, I never will have time enough to say how beautiful it is, the way the moon floats in the air, as easily and lightly as a bird, although she is a world made all of stone. I never will have time enough to praise the way the stars hang glittering in the dark of steepest heaven, their dewy sparks, their brimming drops of light, so fresh, so clear, that when you look at them, it quenches thirst. Looking at the Sky by Ann Porter, from An Altogether Different Language, published by Zoland Books and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, celebrating 100 years of discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetryfoundation.org. Edited by Noah Smith, written by Holly Vanderhaar. Be well, do good work, keep in touch.
Time is is 3:39, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Next guest is Matt Lillard from Eagle Crest here to talk about what's going on today and in spring break. Matt, thank you very much for coming by the station today.
Thank you very much for having me, Jeff.
So what's the conditions up there today?
Conditions are great up there today. We are closed today, but reopening up back for the long holiday week tomorrow. But we've got some great sunny skies out there. I hope everybody's out enjoying a wonderful March spring day, and we're looking forward to a great stretch of weather, some great skiing and riding, and opening all week starting tomorrow.
What are the hours?
We'll be open from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Beginning tomorrow, Thursday through through Monday, March 25th. We'll be open every day. We're going to hopefully have lots of people coming up and skiing and riding up at Eagle Crest and enjoying the great snow.
Nothing like spring skiing.
Exactly. The weather gets a little bit warmer. The days get longer. There's more sunshine. The opportunity for snow is always there in March. We're really looking forward to a great stretch of skiing and riding.
What kind of special activities do you have going on next week?
Well, we've definitely got some great holiday camps within our snow sports school for all ages and all abilities, both ski and snowboard. And they're four-day camps. They're $119. They're a great way to spend Monday through Thursday enjoying all that Eagle Crest has to offer and learning to get out on skis and snowboards or fine-tune your skills. And like you said, they're four-day camps. It's only $119 for all 4 days, and we definitely recommend anybody that was looking to get into those camps to make some reservations and take a look at skijuno.com for all the information.
And how late are you open for the rest of the year?
We are looking at Sunday, April 15th for our closing date. We've got some great spring events coming up after the holiday spring break. We've got our Easter celebration, and we're also going to be having our Slush Cup this year on Saturday, April 14th.
Sounds good. So if people need more information about Eagle Crest, all they have to do is go to your website.
That's right. www.skijuno.com has all the information about the ski area and our wonderful spring skiing, and stay tuned for snow reports and everything else that's going on up at the ski area.
And Matt Lillard, thank you very much for coming by. Is there anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
That's it, Jeff. It's just we're looking forward to a great March. Lots of snow, lots of sun. Come on out and enjoy the rest of a great season.
All right, thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
And don't forget to get your name into the hat to win a pair of tickets to tomorrow night's Paula Poundstone show. Call 586-1212 or email us from our contact section on our website, which is ktonews.org. You need to get your name in by 3:55 p.m. so we can announce the winner at 4 o'clock. Music by Leo Gottke. The time is 3:43 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau. Today is Pi Day 3.14, the 14th of March. And to honor Pi Day, we're going to be playing a little bit of the Pi Symphony, the Ruse performance by Lars Eriksson.
Thank you.
That was the first movement of the Pi Symphony dedicated today to today, 3.14 Pi. The 30th Annual Alaska Folk Festival is coming soon to help us get ready for it. Tune in to Friends and Neighbors tonight at 7 o'clock on KRNN for 2 hours of highlights from last year's festival. It's produced by volunteer Shelley Owens, and thank you, Shelley, for producing that program again. We're giving away 2 tickets to the Paula Poundstone concert tomorrow night. Don't forget to get your name in the hat to win a pair of tickets. Call 586-1212 or email us from our contact section on our website at ktuonews.org. You need to get your name in by 3:55 so we can announce the winner close to 4 o'clock. In the studio with us now is Amanda Compton here to talk about today's Mudroom event going on at 7 o'clock tonight at McPeters Hall.
Hi.
Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
I just assumed it was happening at 7 o'clock because it's $7 to get in. You have 7 people telling 7 stories.
7-minute stories. 7 people, 7 minutes. $7. 7 o'clock, all of those.
All right, thanks for coming in. See you later.
All right, done.
Mudroom, is the general philosophy behind it, please?
The philosophy is that we have a lot of individual stories in town. We have a lot of our community is just ripe culturally. It seems like I feel really blessed to have been moved to a community that seems to really embrace public awareness and just a sense of identity. And so I guess more than the philosophy, we kind of have a mission, and that's that, you know, there's a lot of stories out there that are highly entertaining, and some are astonishing, but the venue, this live storytelling venue that we're having at 7 o'clock tonight, and we have it every month, is not purely for entertainment's sake. It's not a performance. It's really to create a platform where we can explore the humanity and all the components of the humanity in whatever element or form that takes. And so we have a monthly theme. Tonight our theme is Cabin Fever, and we have 7 people speaking, and they each have 7 minutes. And we don't slap them off the stage at the end of that, but they are kindly asked to wrap things up. And we have an incredible lineup tonight. We picked Cabin Fever because we're at that point in winter when it's just about over and the light's starting to increase and we start to emerge a little more from whatever cocoon we may have been in. And for some, it's a really real feeling being cloistered up somewhere, and for some, it's more of a metaphor. So tonight's speakers are Katie Spielberger. We have Brian DeLay. We have Beth Weigel. Are you familiar with how to pronounce that?
Weigel.
Pete Griffin. We also have Pat McClear, Eric Boris, and Kiara Alexander will all be speaking tonight. And we have music from a band I haven't met, but I think they're fairly large with a drum set and all sorts of stuff, called Smoky Pockets at the Devil's Club. So they will be there at 7 o'clock at McFeeters tonight. All of our profits from the last 3 events were totaled over about $1,800, and we gave them to the Glory Hole, and the next 3 events will be donated to the Polaris House. So tonight will be one of those 3 events. And then we'll have one more in April. We'll have it a week before the Folk Festival gets going, and we'll have another one, our season finale, in May 9th. So tonight, 7 o'clock, McFeeters. It's a live storytelling event, and we'd love to see you there.
All right, Amanda, thank you very much for coming down to the station and talking about the Mudrooms event going on tonight.
Thank you, Jeff.
It's 3:56, and you're tuned to KTUO News in Juneau, and Cheryl Levitt is in the studio with some exciting news.
That's right. We have Troy Choquette is our lucky winner for the tickets to go see Paula Poundstone. Troy, you can pick those up at the front desk at our offices here. We're at 360 Egan Drive. We had a lot of people calling in and emailing in with requests to get their name in the hat. For those of you who are not the lucky winner today, you can still get your tickets online at k2news.org, at Hearthside Books and Marlantini's, and of course you can get them at the door tomorrow evening. Doors are going to open at 6:30, and we're expecting a very full house, so get there early so you can get a good seat. She goes live at 8 p.m.
And that is for the Paula Poundstone concert tomorrow night at Centennial Hall. Cheryl, thank you for organizing all the ticket giveaways, and thank you for coming to the station today.
Sure thing. Thanks, Jeff.
You're tuned to KTUO in Juneau. We broadcast 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. KTUO also broadcasts on these translators. In the Valley-Nock Bay area, tuned to K276 AF at 103.1. Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1. K220 BT Sersuna at 91.9. In Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait, you can hear KTUO on K210 AS 89.9. Also live online at www.ktuo.org. Coming up tomorrow at 3 on a Juneau afternoon, we'll find out about Saturday's Sham Jam Ski at the Canvas. Talk with Butch Allen about Saturday's Alaska Ocean Film Festival. Kenda Schbach, from Program Director from the Canvas, will clue us in on upcoming events. And Nancy Dutourney will be giving us the rundown on art happenings in the capital city during Arts Up. At Writer's Almanac Music and more tomorrow at 3 on a Juneau afternoon. For the forecast for tonight, cloudy skies, a chance of snow later on, low temperatures around 25 degrees, east winds to 10 to 20 miles per hour. Forecast for Wednesday, cloudy skies, Thursday, a chance of cloudy skies and a chance of snow in the morning. Chance of rain in the afternoon with high temperatures around 38 degrees. Forecast for Thursday night, looks like rain is likely with snow level to 300 feet later on. Friday, rain and snow likely. Friday night, looks like snow and rain likely. Saturday, mostly cloudy skies with a chance of snow and rain. Thank you for tuning in to June Afternoon. Have a pleasant evening.
This program is made possible by Marlon Tini's, partnering with K2 News to bring comedian Paula Poundstone of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me to Centennial Hall March 15th at 8 p.m. Tickets for Paula Poundstone at k2news.org, Hearthside Books, Marlon Tini's, and At the Door.
My name is Keith McCoy, and I'm playing Walter Lee Younger in Perseverance Theater's production of A Raisin in the Sun. Lorraine Hansberry's story of the Younger family still reigns as a powerful exploration of the value of family identity and obligation in the pursuit of the American dream. This is the play the New York Times said changed American theater forever. A Raisin in the Sun runs March 9th through April 1st. For more information, visit perseverancetheater.org or call 463-TIXS. Play big at Perseverance Theater.